Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one from my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our new friend, John Jameson. He's the author of Wealth Without Stocks or Mutual Funds. We're talking about what to do with the cash that's coming in. That, you know, you've got a payroll check, you got earnings from your company, wherever the cash is coming from, what do you do with that? And, John, welcome back to the show. Thanks again for being here. Why don't you give us the website and tell us how we can find the book?
Okay, just go to wealthwithoutstocks.com, wealthwithoutstocks.com.
All right. And I'm sure it's available on Amazon. All that.
Yeah, it's on Amazon as well, yep.
And they can find out more about your business while they're there, too, can't they?
They sure can.
All right, so good. All right, we're talking, folks, about some alternative ways to think about growing wealth other than the stock market. And you know how I feel about the stock market. John, what I tell my audience is one thing I learned about myself a while back is I'm a horrible saver. I'm the worst saver in the world. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't save anything. But I'm really, really good at making mortgage payments.
Uh-huh.
So over my life, I figured that out. And so I don't have a problem writing a check for a mortgage payment because I'm deducting the interest and I'm building equity, right?
Absolutely.
And appreciation. It's a triple whammy you get there. But it always bugged me to put money in a savings account for some reason. And over the years, if I wander off, you know, into the sunset with a couple of nickels rubbed together, it's going to be because of my real estate.
Yeah, I've been investing in real estate. Started when I was about my first property when I was 20 years old. Didn't really know what I was doing, but
yeah.
I've been in love with it ever since.
And most small business owners, what I tell them, John, is that there's a better than 50-50 chance, maybe even a 75% chance, that when you get ready to sell your small business, the business won't be worth anything. You may be able to liquidate some stuff, but there's probably a 90% chance you're not going to sell your business. But the earnings from your business could be acquiring the real estate you're in or the real estate around you or other things. What do you think?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I'm going to go back to what we talked about last segment, which was the investment-grade life policy. If all small business owners, a lot of people, they want to put in more than $50,000 a year in a retirement vehicle, okay? You can't do that without chipping in for employees. And if you want to put in $100,000, you can't do it. Well, those same limits don't apply on an investment-grade life insurance policy. So if you're really cash flowing well and you want to put away $70,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year and you want to do it in a tax-free environment, you can do that in the investment-grade life policy, and then, here's the key, pull the money back out, and now go buy the building that you're in or make another real estate
investment. And still have the life insurance.
And still have the life insurance and the money.
I've been around a long time, and I used to sell life insurance when I was a pup, long, long time ago. But I was successful at it. I've never heard of what you're calling investment-grade life insurance. Tell us what that is.
Investment-grade life insurance.
And who sells it? What companies sell it?
There's about 8 or 10 carriers that really embrace that concept. Penn Mutual is one of them. Lafayette Life could be one of them.
Yeah.
One America. Those are three right off the top of my head. And what they are, basically, is they're a policy. A traditional whole life policy takes forever to build cash value. The way you do it with it's called a paid-up additions rider, and you build it with usually starting out 70-75% cash value from day one.
It's like a paid-up policy. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not paid-up. You can eventually pay it up. But let's just say you put $100,000 in it to start. You're going to start off to be able to borrow out $70,000-$75,000 day one. Okay, that's not your typical life insurance policy, as you well know
right.
from having selling it before. Typically, there's no cash value right away. And these things start to become tax-free monsters, and you'll end up having a lot more money in there than you ever put
in. So what you can't borrow out is going to cover the death benefit.
Well, what you can't borrow out is going to two places. It's going for the actual cost of insurance.
Administration.
And it's going to pay guys like me. I mean, that's be a problem.
Yeah.
That's where
their commission's involved.
Correct.
So And why wouldn't you just spend the money on the real estate? Why would you buy the insurance if you don't need it?
Because that insurance policy, here's what I tell you to do. Take the money out of it. Act like you're borrowing it from a bank. Pay that insurance policy back with interest. The money still grows. The portion you took out, if we do it right, the money's still growing. And then you're paying it back with interest. That insurance policy is picking up that interest, and it's doing it on a 100% tax-free basis. So at the end of the day, not only do you all have your real estate paid off, you got all kinds of tax-free cash inside this policy. So when you're ready to go off into the distance, as you talked about, those two nickels to rub together, you're going to be able to sell that real estate, and you're going to have all kinds of tax-free cash inside that life insurance policy to use.
And you can still, and you still have the death benefit.
That's right. So when you eventually kick off, you're going to leave behind a lot more money.
How big of a hit is that kind of a policy treat people who are the baby boomers who are in the late 50s and 60s?
Yeah, actually, here's the great thing about these, Jim, is my average client is in their 50s, so that's not a problem. But if I also have clients who get these, believe it or not, who are in their 70s and 80s,
wow.
We just might not put the policy on them. We might put the policy on their adult child.
Yeah.
We might put the policy on their grandkids. So really,
you're just looking for the financial mechanism. Yeah.
That's right.
John, I've got to wrap it up. Good job today in opening our eyes to some different ways to think about building wealth. Give us the website again, please.
Wealthwithoutstock.com. Wealthwithoutstock.com. Thanks
so
much for having me on.
Check it out. Yeah, John, good job, and come back soon.
Look forward to it.
John Jameson, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to check out his book there, Wealth Without Stocks or Mutual Funds. I'll take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.